Hello, everybody, and welcome to Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I'm Bianca Brady, reporting live from the Keith and the Girl headquarters, a.k.a. Snack Pack headquarters, a.k.a. Fuck you! Just kidding, it's me, bitch! You get to see the real business now. I'm Andrea Allen. With me today, I have Hamda.
Hello.
The Smoke Show, Khalili. And Keith, the preacher's son, Mally. Welcome to the show.
Keith, are you nervous or is it just me?
There's a vibe.
There's an energy.
I'm unhinged. Okay. Yes.
Andrea, before she guest hosts for this show, she goes, "All right, I'm not gonna go full blast. We'll be okay."
Oh, number one, fuck this cunt. Number two, you're a fucking bore. Three, oh, you're Jehovah's Witness. Fascinating. Tell a joke. Just kidding. I will only say things at half volume and half truth. See, Bianca delivers the truth, but in a very subtle and moderated way. And everyone reads between the lines, but I don't have that type of capability. So...
Let's
you know,
jump in.
If you bring the animal onto the mic,
okay,
you get what you get. Let's begin. Where it begins, Keith Mally, with your lover. Yes. I will be hosting the show as your father, which brings us to your lover.
I'm sorry. When Bianca begins, and I know you're a different person.
Sure.
She does fill us in on her life. What is new with you?
Ooh, talk about the naked guy.
Oh my God! Thank you. I like forgot about it. Then you said it, and it sparked joy again, which is it's kind of so. I saw our building super outside, as we've discussed in previous shows. He's a fucking weirdo. You don't really want to talk to him too much because he's gonna say something racist or make you reveal something about the apartment that he's gonna then snitch on. So I was being very courteous, and he goes, "Were you around for the hubbub?" And I was like, okay, is the hubbub like us getting kicked out of the apartment or some other weird racist thing that you're going to say?
And there was, there were cops in the building yesterday or the day before. So there's a couple on like the third or fourth floor that argue so loud the cops get called on them all the time. Like, remember we heard shattered glass and like they're real, real monsters.
Yeah.
So maybe it was about the police. It wasn't.
No, it wasn't. So that's what I said. I was like, go with the safe option and say when the police were called, because then it's not anything about me. It's like a choose your own adventure where you don't get in trouble. And so he goes, no, the naked guy. And I was like, okay, now I'm in. And he was like, there was a well, he told me two stories. I think he's drunk all the time, too.
I think so, too.
Yeah, because none of it makes sense. But it like
he mumble slurs.
Yeah, and it's all like loosely tied together, but not really.
Yeah.
So there's two.
Isn't that the story of every super though? They're willing to live in the basement of a building. They're always, of course, they're drunk. They're just ready on a whim to fix a toilet.
Well, the thing is these.
Does he live here though? I don't think he lives here.
I don't think this one does. The last one does, but these are like 70-year-old handymen that this guy hires. And it's like, wow, it's 70 years old. You don't want to answer everybody's, it's a lot.
Yeah,
and they're always like way out of shape. Not like a shape, just like they're worn in the face and the body. They look like they were a machine until they were like 25.
Yeah, like they were in a war somehow, even though it's like not during a time where there was a war. Yeah, it's like he's from Ireland. So I'm like, were you just like...
Were you the troubles?
Yeah. Did you come here in a barrel of whiskey? Like, what? Who are you? He's such a little elf, too. He's odd. But anyway, so he goes...
I don't trust him at all.
No, you shouldn't. He tells two different stories. The first story he tells, he goes, the naked man. And I'm like, excuse me?
And right away, I think, and when she's telling me this, there's a guy across the street who more than once, when I left this building, I'm like... Oh, he's at least naked or half naked, and there are cops on him.
Shirtless minimum.
Yelling.
Yeah.
Very upset, very chaotic. Yeah.
I saw him a few days ago, and he was taking his shirt off. And I was like, I've been sick for months now. I have very little energy. And he looks at me and he starts to be like, sorry for my California, like some sort of like, sorry about my attire. I'm blah, blah. And I just like cross the street. Because I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
I'm either going to freak out and slam your head against the wall or like, I'm going to
have. I believe you.
Why are you slurring? You have no shirt on. You're talking to me like this is a real situation. Like, I can't with you, fucking idiot. So I did think it was that, but he said, no, there was a man who took all his clothes off. So not shirtless, everything, I think, dick out. He jumped. Our building has apartments, obviously, that face the street. He jumped through someone's bathroom window. Now, I don't know if he broke the window or if he was able to get into the window. That's a terrifying. I looked at the window. It doesn't look like it's been repaired. So just naked, crazy people can like jimmy their way into our window.
I don't understand why this is the only building in all of New York that doesn't have, or seemingly, that doesn't have those guards on the first floor.
Because it's an old building.
Yeah.
And they don't want to pay any money to like get any proper shit installed. Oh, you think they're going to follow code? No. So he got into someone's bathroom. Turns out a single woman who lives there alone. What a fucking nightmare.
I always think that. Like, if I'm alone at night, I'm like, what's that sound? And then I go, don't get paranoid because you could just roll
and
with any
sound.
And
then it's a naked man.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, what is it? Oh, just even worse. Usually, okay, a man would be my worst nightmare. Now he's naked for some reason.
Yeah.
How crazy are you? Are you, you know, like,
do you, what have, are these decisions,
do you have a gun shoved up your ass somehow? Like, this is so next level.
You said this is something in the morning?
At 2 a.m.
Oh, my God.
So she has to get out of bed, you assume?
Yeah, of course.
And then does she open up her front door like it's a bird coming through?
That's what I thought. Because what do? You don't talk to him. Right. Is he jerking off in your bathroom? Is he stealing shit? I got no details because I'm talking to this Irish weirdo about it. He's not giving me any comprehensive information. And then, but then he told another story about a man who ran into five cars or maybe five people. I don't know. He could have said both. Five people, five cars, naked, woman's bathroom, blah, blah. But you're safe because I'm protected. Blah. And I'm like, oh, good. Who ran his car into either five cars or people a few blocks down. So I'm like, was the car man the naked man? Did the car man hit five people, get out of the car, take all his clothes off?
So they couldn't find him based on cameras.
In the description for the car thing, I have clothes on, but the naked, I'm naked. Like a perfect crime. And then he's in some woman's apartment running around.
So she's telling me he came into the apartment and he starts running, which part of me feels a little relieved because it's like, okay, you're somewhere else, right? So maybe you're not here for me. You're here because your mind is just, you don't know where you are.
Yeah, but your mind don't know where you are.
I don't know if you stop and go, oh, I'm supposed to kill you, you know?
Oh, or you're the police and I have to take you out. Yeah. Or he's schizophrenic, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, obviously. He's unhinged.
They sit down and you're watching a late night show together.
Yeah. Just waiting for the police to stay calm.
Yeah, some weird shit must go down in this building. It's such a big building and there's so many different types of personalities all the time.
But also that the front of the building is so not secure. There's been a burglary through the window because there's no protection for them.
No.
Like, we're in a different part, but for them, it's like there's no guard on the window and there's that fence that you can literally walk over.
Oh, yeah. Hilarious. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're just lifting a window.
So that was a big entertainment of my life, you know.
So they tell you all that and you go, okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I go, have a good day.
Now I'll enjoy the rest of my day. Now, I hear, of course, the cough drop, and you were saying you were sick for months now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as an audience listener, I'd have to go, what does that mean? Are you dying?
I mean, who knows? We all are dying.
All right. Okay.
I feel like I've explained this sickness in partial bits, but okay. I guess to give a full timeline, I got like a cold flu bullshit thing maybe 2-3 months ago. I went to a city MD and they gave me a Z-Pak.
Like an urgent care.
Yeah, exactly. Like a walk-in clinic. And they gave me a Z-Pak, the antibiotic that like knocks it the fuck out. And and they were like, okay, one of your tonsils is bigger than the other one. So that's unusual. I mean, it's nothing crazy, but once you get better, if it's still uneven, if it's an uneven auxin in your mouth.
Oh, that's next week's show.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, if one tonsil's Jewish and the other one's...
then go to a specialist to get it checked out. Mm-hmm. So then I go to a ear, nose, and throat doctor. He goes, yeah, you know, tonsils can like blow up. Everyone's kind of like, it could be a big deal, it couldn't be a big deal, which is for a hypochondriac, a horrible hell to be in. And he goes, You have
Andrea, like, really immediately goes to, like, can you just tell me if I'm going to die?
Right.
I feel like I'm going to. And I know the feeling is irrational, but it doesn't mean it's any less scary and real. Like,
and they don't phrase it where you don't have the option to think that. They phrase it where you start thinking about your death.
Yeah, well, anything's possible.
Yeah.
I can't tell you you're not going to die.
Right.
Well, they're covering their own, you know, mm-hmm. like, malpractice. I don't know. I think that they feel like they have to give you all the possibilities to make the informed decision.
Of living?
Which, I guess of like, what's the next step? So basically he said like, you have lymph tissue, your lymph system is your immune system. And so when something happens, like a virus or a bacteria or something that you should know about, your lymph system is the first defense. And so if something is inflamed.
Did they tell you you have bronchitis or did you make that up yourself?
The bronchitis comes further down the line.
Okay.
So now I had a cold, one of my tonsils is swollen, I'm at an ear, nose, and throat doctor. He says you have lymph tissue in your throat, so we should investigate this because your lymph system is your immune system. So sometimes that's your immune system's way of being like, something's fucked up.
Okay.
You know, like you find a tumor, that's usually the first sign or whatever. So he goes, we can get you could have lymphoma. I'm like, oh, great. That's great. That's, everyone loves that word. And then he checks down my throat and like my other lymph nodes. He's like, well, usually when you have lymphoma, you're losing a lot of weight. I'm like, oh, thank you. It's rude, but okay.
You're clearly not.
Yeah, that fuck.
Did somebody give you an extra lymph node?
Yeah. or you'd be very tired all the time, or and other lymph nodes would be inflamed. Like the whole system would be kind of a little bit more
obvious.
But you
went from like doctor to doctor to doctor, and they're like, could be cancer. Nah, it's not cancer. Could be cancer. Nah, it's not.
Over and over.
Could be a tumor. She finally got a biopsy.
Well, yeah, I got a sonogram and they were like, there's a mass in there. I'm like, oh, great. That's mass scary. In my neck. Fun. And then they were like,
no, and you'd complain wherever it's at.
No, me and my concern for not having cancer. What a fucking bitch. And so then they were like, we can tell definitively, it looks benign, but we can tell definitively if we get a biopsy. So I got a biopsy. I was awake for it, which was crazy.
Very weird.
They shoved a needle in my neck and were like talking to me while they were rooting around my neck. Mm-hmm. It was surprisingly chill. I don't know why that is the way it was, but it was. And they go, okay, your lymph nodes just inflamed. You got sick. It probably just like didn't go down. Sometimes they just don't go down. And he says, it's benign, you're fine. And that biopsy doctor, who was probably the first reasonable doctor I talked to along the way, who like actually seemed to be listening to what I was saying and like was smart and thoughtful. And he said, this sounds like bronchitis. Because I explained it. I was like, I have this throat thing and my chest feels heavy. Like I feel low energy. I'm coughing all the time. Like there's no... I go through periods where I'm better and then it's kind of worse. Like there's no real, I've never been sick in this way for this long. And he's like, that sounds like bronchitis. So then I went to the city MD again and I'm like, I think I have bronchitis, whatever the fuck that means. I don't have cancer. Now we know I don't have cancer, but I'm still sick. I've been sick. Like what is the fucking answer?
I didn't know bronchitis lasts for 2-3 months.
Well, chronic bronchitis does. Mm-hmm. There's different types. Believe me, I've been Googling it all over town. I know, and I'm trying not to, but it's like I continue to be sick, and I haven't been on stage. Like I haven't been doing shows. I've been doing podcasts because that's like my job, but I haven't been out and about socializing. Like it's very. I don't have the energy that I usually have, and I'm trying to rest because that's the only thing that seems like is the right thing to do.
By the
right
way,
now.
Going down to just full-time work is Andrea's rest.
Right. Yeah. I hate it. I'm fucking bored out of my mind. Like half of this.
I get these crazy texts sometimes.
Oh my
and I'm
God.
Just like, oh boy, go outside for a bike ride for a minute.
Yeah. I wander around at night because it's like, this is my
in
big.
Your robe. That's a picture.
It truly is. Because I'm like, this is my big outside fucking moment for the day. I was telling Billy Proceed, is like, how are you doing? And I'm like, I'm still pretty sick. And he's like, well, you don't like sound sick in your podcast. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to fucking be constantly like, hey, I'm sick. Where are you? Like, you have to live your life and still try to maintain. I went to the city MD. They're like, if you have bronchitis, you just have to rest. It's a virus. It's going to take its course as long as it does.
And so what we've been doing is infecting all the guests.
Yeah.
Now, one by one, we're going to tell you how much mucus is in them now.
I know. I mean, I'm not contagious. Great, thank God.
Keith and I didn't get sick.
No, Dustin came and we banged a bunch. He didn't get sick. Mm. So whatever's happening is just within me.
Nice. Thank you for containing it.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels good. The City MD doctor gave me basically cold medicine. He was like, here's a prescription cold medicine. I'm like, do I look like a fucking asshole to you? Okay, all right. So then I'll just take cold medicine and keep being sick. I got sicker last week. I went to an Upper East Side City MD because I'm like, all right, if the Queens one is going to be bullshit, I'm going to go to the Upper East Side. I'm also messaging.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I'm messaging with my primary care doctor who's very smart and I trust her. And I'm just telling her what's happening every step of the way. And she's like, okay, like rest for a while. See if you get progressively better. I messaged her and I was like, hey, I'm not getting better. And she said, okay, go see someone or go to the specialist. So I went to a City MD because it was like a Saturday and they gave me steroids, which is, I guess, when you're for inflammation. So if you have inflamed lungs.
How much more steroids do you have until?
2 more days worth of steroids.
And all right. Pills?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to see a new Andrea in 2 days.
Roid rage. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm feeling steroids. Took a lot of the pain away pretty immediately, but I'm like afraid to when I'm done with them, if I'm not better again, like what do I do?
Yeah, start being scared now. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, you've been sick. You've been sick for periods of time. Mm. What do? You just keep going to doctors until they figure it out? You're like,
Yeah. You just like not think ahead as much as possible.
Yeah.
Because they're just telling you all the possibilities. So don't roulette wheel it.
Yeah. I'm like incrementally feeling like I sense my energy is coming up as of recently, which is a good sign, but.
But still laid down.
Yeah. I'm still nowhere close to where the last time I was this sick is when I had mono. You know, I was thinking about like.
You get all the good ones.
Yeah.
Sexy.
Highly I know. Sexy. All the like ones. So. Like, I'm fine, but
my favorite is when she opens a cough drop in the middle of the show and she just, like, looks at us like she's in school and we're the teacher and it's like, can they hear this? And we're looking straight at her and she just keeps looking at us because if she looks at us in the eye, we can't look down at her candy. And she's just like,
I'm scared of being without cough drops. Like, this weirdo attachment to cough drops now.
How many cough drops do you eat a day? I know the answer.
Like, it must be 40 plus.
She's chewing them up. You know, it blew my mind. I didn't even know
that. You can't chew them up. They lose what they're supposed to do.
I don't know.
You don't know. What are you saying?
Well, I mean, it blows my mind when I see people chewing Starburst. Mm-hmm. To me, I was raised, you have one and you suck on it.
Yeah, definitely go with the way you were raised.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just telling you, you can understand my surprise when I see someone chewing cough drops like they're M&M's.
Yeah. I don't know. Anything to get me by now.
You know what's good?
I don't care.
Ricola. No joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'll fucking put it in a blender and shove it up my ass, whatever it takes.
No, that's the thing. You got to suck on it. So it does the suck on it thing for your throat. God. Slowly. 40 of them? That's not an exaggeration, right?
No.
No. Oh I go to the bodega every morning. These are my big day rituals. In the morning, I walk to the bodega very slowly. It's very exciting. I'm trying to take in the outdoors. I get my coffee and I get 3 packs of cough drops.
Fucking hell.
And I will easily go through that. I might even go back at night and get more cough drops.
Packs, like the bags, to be clear. She's not talking a roll.
I'm talking a roll now. But if I get the bags, which you saw my 80, that lasted me 2 days. And sometimes I'll get the bags of the 40s. And
the 40s?
Yeah.
She's drinking a smoker. 40s.
I want 2 80s and a 40.
And a lotto ticket. Yeah. Why not?
I just don't want to be coughing all the time. It's distracting. Sure. And it makes my throat feel better. So I don't know. This is how the healthcare system works in America. Yeah. You just give up and start just fucking being addicted to cough drops
this
somehow.
Candy will help me.
Right. I guess so. Honestly, I did a show. I told Billy Procida that I would do his live podcast months ago. And he was taping it for like a pilot or whatever fucking bullshit. So I can't not go. Like it would be so, so, so unprofessional.
Have you tried a Sucrets or the ones that are more medicine and less candy?
No.
Okay.
Just let her pretend this is working. What is happening?
Have one thing.
Oh, no, you do seem happy. I didn't mean nothing. Sorry, guys.
You can have Gatorade. I can have cough drops. We can all do the bullshit thing that makes us feel better.
What's my thing? Oh, weed. Yeah.
Yeah. What's your thing? Weed and schmoopies.
Yay, schmoopies.
Is Chemda's medicine.
Hi, Xerxes.
So I'm doing Billy Procida's live podcast. I start coughing on stage. By the way, it's in a hookah lounge, so would allow smoking. So I am now in a smoke-filled building for like 2 hours, and on stage I am coughing so hard that I can't breathe. So I'm going like, and I am crying because I'm coughing. So, and neither Billy nor anyone who's producing the show seems to be too concerned about getting me water at any such pace, even though I'm carrying the whole fucking show. So give me water so I can keep making your show funny. Some asshole comes up with half a glass of like warm water. The bar is literally right there. I should have just walked over and gotten water at this pace. And they give me half a glass of warm water and they go, more water is coming soon. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? What do you mean is coming soon? Can you only give your performers a small warm glass of water until they really mean it? Like,
well, did you use a drink ticket?
Fuck you. I made your show. Give me a gallon of water and then send me home in a car made of diamonds, you fucking prick. It was so unbelievable. Anyways, whatever. I'm in a great place. Everything's great.
All right.
I'm going to Burning Man. I'll probably die out in the desert and it'll be great. Right.
Bianca just tells us about snacks.
Well, I told you. If you asked me to do the thing, I'm doing it my way. KATG episode 3121, Once Upon a Time with Kyle Ocasio. Yes. First episode of the week. Fan favorite, Keith Smoopty. and you were, was it the night before that Kyle was in the ER?
Yeah.
God, you must have been tired.
Yeah.
You guys kept it together pretty well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, she was ready to tear somebody's head off. She did, of course, end up reporting this nurse through their insurance and through the hospital.
Yeah.
So they can't say what the disciplinary action was, but I'd like to assume something uncomfortable happened, so that's good.
Well, it's been reported, so then even if like the next person does now, she's got two marks.
Yeah. Couldn't believe it. I need to ask about the medicine. You bother me. I have 30 people here. You bother me again. I'm going to even take longer. You said that out loud.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, confidence.
After I just talked about how no one gives a shit about how I'm sick forever, I wasn't surprised by this story.
Well, what do you think of the different ways that Kyle and Keith wanted to handle it, where Keith is like, maybe, you know, don't look like a crazy person so that you can report them. But Kyle's like, I don't think I'm going to look like a crazy person. I think I'm just yelling at the right person.
Yeah, I mean, I think Keith always stays passive in public. And
even
I think,
though he throws canes.
Yeah, it's been a minute since you've thrown a cane, though. Do you still have it in you? I don't think you've thrown a cane or had like a public fit in a really long time.
You haven't punched anyone in a long time?
I have fairly recently accidentally stepped on someone's foot. And their heel came up a little bit and they went, and I went,
right.
That's so like, I have done that.
That's like as far as I feel you'll go is like, which is, I think, gross.
It was a lady, so yeah. I don't throw women's stuff.
Yeah.
But isn't that kind of the same as what she was doing? She like was.
No, I'm more vindictive than her, actually, even though she wanted to pop a head off like a dandelion. Me, I would have, you know, I said this, but I want her coworkers to hate her.
Yeah.
I want it to go down many levels. I don't want a coworker to see Kyle call this woman a bitch or a cunt and then think, well, I guess everybody's crazy.
Oh, so no, you're thinking, let's think the next level.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's not ruin the other levels with this level.
Yes.
Well, if you go crazy, you're the crazy person. Mm-hmm. And then you have much less leverage in being like, I was mistreated. Yes.
And her fellow nurses and orderlies, of course, would skew towards her side anyway. So don't give her any favors. Okay. I can't believe she lost her shit in front of everybody, this nurse. Let's keep everybody thinking that.
Do you miss fighting? Like, is it fun to throw a punch or is it like, why do I got to do this?
No, it's not fun.
It's not fun? It's never been fun?
No, the more clever stuff is what's fun.
Okay.
When I was telling the story about whispering to a customer, I fucking hate you. And then they go to my boss who knows I'm the nicest person. And I'm like, I said what?
Yeah.
That's fun. Oh, that's better than a punch. And she's like, he said that he said he fucking hates me. And I go, maybe I asked, do you want dessert? Mm-hmm. And she's like, what?
The pen is mightier than the sword.
Right.
In that, Keith Malley's life.
That's fun.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's true, though. I understand. I mean,
you do have to have more patience for that to happen.
Kyle has children and maintains a job, like multiple jobs and stuff. Yep. I can imagine while juggling all that stuff and then being sick and getting talked to like that, I probably would have fucking lost it too. Like I understand both sides of this coin, and I lose it. I mean,
Kyle wasn't shy that a head can go through a computer.
Yeah, I enjoyed learning about her.
But you bring up the kids, and then what? Now we I visit you in the hospital. I mean, in the jail.
Yeah.
What are we doing? And especially in the ER, there's cops all over the place.
Yeah.
And also, she's a trainer, so she's probably
she's certified lethal. Like Bruce Lee. Yeah. She's lethal.
She
can stretch you to death.
Well, we talked about Keith going to the gym on that show. Mm-hmm. How is your gym rat lifestyle?
Well, you can probably see and take it in. There's been there three times so far. She's on one of those military tours again right now, so mm-hmm. I'm off for that week.
But you don't. She doesn't leave you with a regiment.
I wouldn't even know what to begin.
Who knows?
I put so much trust in her,
right?
And her technique to change things up that I don't even want. She offered, like, you know, I can get you somebody to train you. I was like, please, they're gonna try to teach me a fucking lesson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's too good, so that's why you're not doing it. Yeah, totally.
Uh-huh. No, I don't want to. I'm afraid I'm gonna pick up a bad habit. You know, sometimes you work. Yeah. Speaking of waiters, some restaurants they liked it when you knew less things, because then they could teach you the new way.
Exactly.
I don't want to get my head filled with the bad stretching ideas.
Is she also trying to get you to eat better? I've noticed some comments here and there about your junk food consumption.
And you know what's also funny is, and I think you're right about that, because I've heard the same thing, but Keith doesn't eat bad, but
he does. What are you talking about?
I don't think he eats that bad. And I think he's like normal. He's fine. But I think he likes women going like, let's eat better. And he's like, that gives him the reason to eat better. Like, he needs that.
I see that.
All right. I mean, sure. But I'm not saying Keith eats good.
What? You think he eats bad?
I think he eats probably average to bad, if I was going to say.
What's bad about it?
He never processed meats, sugary drinks.
No sugar. Gatorade, zero sugar.
Yeah, I bet you that stuff's really good.
That's worse. That's like Diet Coke.
Anything that is the color orange, like neon, anything that is like a highlighter color.
Have you seen Michael Jordan shooting a shot and you see he sweats neon?
Right.
That's the electrolytes.
You're right.
Electra. Mm-hmm. Well, you think it's going to be clear?
Electricity.
Yeah, it's going to be electricity colors.
Like light, like the meaning of life.
Your yellows, your oranges.
I mean, I just would... My, like, Emily eats well. Emily eats better than I do. And she, excuse me.
Get her water before she freaks out.
I know.
20 cough drops.
That's my rider. All I want is you to be able to get some fucking water.
She stole my sippy cup.
Mm-hmm. I'm sick, Hemda.
Oh, so sorry.
It's not your tumor time anymore.
I keep buying another one.
Yeah, she has 10 sippy cups because of Andy.
So... Emily eats like salads and almost vegetarian and...
Vegetarian is not...
Sure, but you see what she eats. She
eats candy for lunch sometimes.
Yeah, but what I'm... But if you looked, I say she's on a level, I'm one down from her, and then Keith is one down from me, I would say, in terms of like consistent, healthy eating.
See, I think that we're not taking into account certain things with Keith, where he's more level-headed about the amount of food that he intakes. He doesn't eat as much junk when he eats junk.
Yeah,
so when he eats potato chips, like you and I will finish the family pack and go, oops. He will never do that.
Okay. I don't give him a fucking medal because he eats a moderate amount of junk. He still eats junk. I don't know what this weird science is. Oh, he's very moderate about the trash he puts in his body. I don't think we eat well.
I don't think we eat
well in this studio. And that's, I enjoy it, but like we eat pizza and sandwiches and like shit with rice in it and whatever. If we're being like sticklers about healthy eating, Kyle is jacked and clearly eats very, very well. I would never say I was in the same category as her.
So how does she want you to eat? She makes lasagna. That's a, you don't know. She just works out.
She would like my protein smoothies, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What else? She wants us to eat less meat.
Because
her daughter said something goofy, and now she's going to fucking jump on that for a minute, but that'll go away. It always does, you know.
Sure. I think meat and vegetables right now is on par with, like, you don't remove vegetables, you don't remove meat to get healthier anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think, like, meat is the problem per se. Like, it, the way we raise our meat, obviously.
The shitty meat is probably course, has a lot more.
But I don't think that's what's keeping our country fucked up.
No, there's many things. But yeah. I'm going to go out on the limb and say Keith and his bodega sandwiches all the time, not a healthy eater.
I probably have those 2 times a week at most, and I only eat half the sandwich in one sitting.
And when I see his refrigerator, it always has like those salad kits.
You're not going to convince me of this.
I'm not trying to convince you. I don't think he's like the health food king of the world.
No, that's what I'm saying. But she is like that, though. I think she's much more that way. And it seems like she's trying to like turn you to be more that way.
Perhaps.
Okay.
Do you eat the same when you're sitting across from each other?
Yeah.
You do, yeah.
Sure.
But she, even when we did the newlywed games and she was talking about your snacks and your bullshit Philly cream cheese, whatever the fuck.
I don't think she was talking. First of all, she's the one who eats the snacks in my house. Right. I don't even. So add that to your list. And then.
This is me saying Keith eats like shit.
And she asked, what's the favorite dessert, right? And it was a Philadelphia cream cheese.
Bullshit.
Cheesecake.
Go fuck yourself. Die.
she doesn't know the property.
Yeah.
But that's it. I'm not having it, you know, twice a day. I'm having it twice a week, if that.
All right. Well,
yeah, I don't know why you're so mad about my diet.
I'm not mad about your
diet. Keep some eyes open.
I'm not mad about your diet. I'm simply making an observation that Kyle is trying to get you to exercise and not eat.
It's a pointed observation. It's interesting.
And you're a piece of shit.
I mean, okay. I don't think he exercises. It's like this, the least New York exercise I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he can walk to work every day and he won't.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy to me.
He's living his best life. I'm not
anti.
I'm just saying the facts are facts.
I mean, I guess it's a
just
mile and a half.
Because you say he eats half a sandwich and then doesn't eat the other half doesn't mean he's not eating sandwiches and taking cars. You know what I mean?
Sandwiches aren't the worst.
Piece of shit.
All I know is, yeah, that feels good.
Motherfucker. I mentioned earlier.
He shouldn't be in the shape that he's in. That's for
sure. Yeah, it's crazy.
That I'll give you.
You have some weird genetics. Maybe that's the only thing that your dad did give you.
Seriously.
Is like freakish.
It's the only thing that you should thank him for. You should be a pile of shit.
Thank you.
You should be a pile of shit.
But you could just do push-ups at any given moment.
Yeah.
It's fucking sick.
No, it's sick. And you don't deserve any of it. Anyways, so... Also, we talked. Is this the first time we talked about your mom's worsening condition on this show?
In more detail,
yeah.
that it is indeed worse, the Alzheimer's, the dementia, and yeah, she's just really losing it. You know, talking about the time she's at McDonald's, so she asked them for extra plastic bags because she knows my brother Mike quote needs bags. Ugh. What could that even possibly mean? Yeah. And then what do you do?
Well, you guys used to use bags for shoes. You used to use
bags are the queen of everything.
Yeah.
I like bags.
Yeah.
You used to reuse potato chip bags for school the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah. She thinks there's a bag shortage since like the 1950s.
Bread bags was our lunch
bag.
Does
she know the ocean is filled with bags? Just put her out in a big pile of bags.
Listen, if we get a houseboat.
Is there an update on you guys getting her home?
No.
Okay.
Is your dad helping in any way, shape, or
always,
form?
Always, yeah. Always be helping. That's his motto.
Well, if you know, the following week, you're going to hear we're back to these emails. I'm going to bet that takes time.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like these letters take time, but, you know, if there's time, they're being done on emails and masturbating to my exes.
Oh, God. This is...
Oh, you think I'm in there?
I do.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Congrats, you weird
Thank
oxen.
You. Yes.
He masturbates to you in the, like, this is the devil
yes.
way. Like, Cat is, like, the pure one.
Yes.
And you're, like, the devil, mm-hmm. like, pagan Jew bad girl mm-hmm. and then Kyle is this like
well Kyle he just assumes
with children
no he just now in his head when he jerks off to Kyle he's like no her husband's dead she's the good one
right.
Yeah
uneven oxen uneven oxen
oh God yeah you're the most mad at Keith's dad I've ever heard you
me?
with the mom stuff
yes.
now because it, to me it's like and I agree. He's being
you
crazy.
You have lived
He's,
a privileged fucking life with
yeah.
all of these people, with your children, with your lovely wife. If you ever meet his mom, she's just the loveliest person. She's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Just gorgeous.
She's fine. I heard she's fine.
And so, yeah, this makes me mad because now, because you didn't have to step up. She didn't ask you to step up. You didn't have to step up. Nobody forced you to step up. You didn't opt in to step up. Now you have to, and you're still a fucking shitbird on brand to the end. And it's like all the love that your kids and your mom and your wife could have like somehow saved up for you is just diminishing so quickly with this like obvious, you know, hey, it's time to stand up. And you're still lounging is just fucking phenomenal. Like that she doesn't deserve that at all. Neither do his kids. Like they've been lovely, you know, they've just, everyone's been trying to participate in this man's life in whatever fucking way. Only Christmas, fine, only Christmas. Only via letters that are stupid, fine. Only via letters that are stupid. We're going to the family just to see mom, but you're there, fine. We'll fucking deal with your shit fits. I remember when they visited, when I first met them, and your dad, he gets hungry, and the whole fucking world ends.
Yeah.
The whole world ends, and everybody had to stop for McDonald's, even though we were planning a dinner and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I don't know. And everyone panics around him because he's such a fucking prick all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And it's like, please forgive us. I know you're making dinner. They called us. Please, I know you're making dinner, but we already ate McDonald's. I don't know. And it was like, hey, just relax, because they don't know what to do with this guy who just changed everything. Seven people in the house. And he's the fucking Lord and Savior. You know, it's just always, always about him in the shittiest possible fucking way. And if it doesn't end up that way, he makes sure that he adds to it. Lovely time. Everyone worked around him. Everyone worked around each other. We housed all seven people. It was so nice. He sends a shitty letter afterwards.
Yeah.
So it's like no matter what, he leaves his pile of shit everywhere. Yeah. And now when it counts the most, when you're... Your kids have to look into your fucking spouse who's still alive and you're functioning perfectly fine but always bitching about it.
Yeah.
Now, not even now will you step up. I cannot even look at you or think of you as a man or a human being anymore.
Let's because kill him.
You are just underneath a shoe right now.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel.
It's
People say, Keith, you don't seem so upset by this. I have Henda. You know?
Yeah. I don't know why it makes me so... It's just...
Well, it's Keith is our friend, and it's like watching. It's obviously you understand the disappointment that your dad is. It's clear that you're not, there's no surprises. However, this past few months have seemed like, oh God, it's even like, he's even more, it is a little surprising.
It's disgusting. Yeah, it is a little surprising.
And also that look at Keith's face about his dad, I'm like, oh, yeah, he's done. So when someone's done about their dad, I'm done too.
Yeah.
Like, it takes so much to be done about your parents.
Yes.
That I will happily be done with you because I've experienced, like, but that's your dad sort of thing. And I'm like, that's not, Trump is someone's dad too. Should we go, but that's your dad? Or should we say, like, hey, stepped up to your dad, even though that's your dad?
Yeah. Well, I remember when I was younger, I listened to the show. Your dad was more, like, harmless seeming. Because you get like the goofy emails and the letters and son and stuff like that. And like it didn't register that that's a person. And then you kind of become a more online adult and you're like, ew, ew.
Yeah, I think that's what made me that way too. I always thought it was like, oh, your dad's always old. He was always, he's been an old. Right. He always talks like he's old. It is like you said, it's not a big deal.
He's but like a now, cartoon. Now you're like, oh, you're a horrible fucked up monster. He was like Andy Rooney and now he's like Satan.
Yeah.
You know? Right. And you're like, oh God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I didn't think I'd make it in my 30s. Ugh. I didn't think I'd make it to my 40s. I didn't think I'd make it to 45.
Were you partying?
Yeah, what are you doing? Yeah. You didn't do anything.
You didn't go anywhere. Yeah. Have they been out of the country?
Yes.
They just sit around.
Well, I know he was going to do world tours in every single country, but the president of the UN all of a sudden stopped sending money.
What are your siblings say about your mom? Are they all, is everyone just now trying to like research things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he will be of no help.
No.
They're not, but you're all, your siblings and you are not very emotional. So everyone, I imagine everyone just going like, here's what I saw.
Yeah. Obviously, you can't be emotional. There's no space because it's like emotional opens yourself up for vulnerability to this type of behavior. And it's like, there's no space for that anymore because this is so toxic.
It's still your mom and you're putting her in a home. There's time for emotion. I have never seen one emotion out of all five of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keith is... the most expressive, the most emotional.
Oh God, what?
Intelligent. Yes, he is this is
what are your siblings, like literal piles of bags?
He's the Chemda of his
crew. No.
Oh, 100%.
That just blew my mind.
A thousand times more. It's am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh my God, those poor people. What about your sister too? Sister really?
No. Nope.
See, the sister to me always from when and I've never met your sister, but from the show. She seemed like she had a job with like Starbucks or something for a while, right? Like she mm-hmm. seemed to have
that was kind her second of job.
Interest in like philanthropy and a career and some.
Oh, they're all lovely. They're all very hardworking.
Yeah.
But they all like when they focus. They're not like just hanging around. They do the stuff. They say the things. You know, they're doing things.
Right.
But he's just the most emotionally aware. The most.
Yeah. I have to get another call. Oh my God. Oh, fuck.
Don't ask about their diets. Yeah.
He's the mushiest.
That's
he's,
insane. Yeah. He's, that's insane. Mm-hmm. Right? Your father needs to be put in Guantanamo Bay or studied or something.
And I hung out with his sister. Again, like, such a lovely time. We did fun things.
She's of course.
Very funny. Hilarious family.
You got to be funny. Yeah. This is how funny people are made. You put normal people in a pressure cooker with a fucking maniac, and then they are all just like, ha, jokes, puns, sleeveless shirts, podcasts. Because it's like that reality is too horrible to understand or even take seriously. So you just disassociate and you start podcasting. Yeah. Congrats.
They're more conservative in their speech.
Oh, Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. Well, I mean, best of luck. Fuck, man.
The poll was, have you ever had to put, and we thought this wording was important, have you ever had to put a parent in the home? Have you had to put a parent in the home? Two people, two listeners.
That's not a lot.
No.
Says they have. And I'm curious, what do they mean by that? Does it mean, hey, it's time and they're going, or you had to insist? Like, will we have to? You know, when I talk to there's members of my siblings that think they're trying to fight it, but I've talked to my mom and dad separately and they each blame it on the other person, but that otherwise they are willing to go to an old age home. Mm. So we'll see.
When my mom put my grandfather in an old age home, this is how she described it to me. They tricked him, which I don't know if like he was shitting his pants at this point and like his kids were changing him. So it was like, okay, nobody needs this, right? So he thought he was going to the bank and they pull up and he goes, we're not going to the bank, are we? And they're like, no. And he's like, all right.
Game over, motherfucker. Yeah.
So that's how emotional my family is.
Yeah. I mean, both my grandparents, actually all of them were put in homes except for my dad's mom. No, I'm sorry. She was in a home too. And they all died of like a dementia or an Alzheimer's or some sort of related thing. And I think my parents just made the decision about their quality of life. They were like, you are like a child. Yeah. I can't watch over you all the time.
Even if you love them the most.
Yeah. My mom watched over her father and he had cancer too. And he was shitting his pants and she was fucking wiping up his shit. And at a certain point it was like, it's too much. And it sucks. I mean, I think my mom told me, she was like, if I start to go crazy, just like push me off a cliff. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Yeah. Sure.
Live with that, me,
Andrea. Sure. Yeah, I killed my mom. I mercy took her out back and I shot her in the head. Oh, that's going to be fine.
She's falling off the cliff. She's going, no. And you go, don't say that. You said that.
You said. This is because I love you.
Mercy, mercy, mercy.
I get that though. Not being in charge of your faculties is got to be a weird torture chamber, especially if you move in and out of lucidity. That must be really fucked up, you know? But good thing she has your father there to fucking... Well, speaking of fucking maniacs, the return of Micah Fox.
Big fat return.
Natural disasters. It had been a long time since you'd had Micah, at least over a year, right?
Mm-hmm. At least a year and a half,
yeah. And what was the decision? Was there a decision to not book her? Was there a decision to bring her back on?
I think it just worked out that way that usually I think she reached out and she wasn't.
Yeah.
And life just moved on. That's the way I remember it.
Sure.
Okay.
Is that how do you remember it, Hamda?
She flaked a couple times.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So to me, that's like, well, I love her to fucking death, but I'm like, this, you're going through something or whatever's happening. So let's take a break. It's not, And so I reached out again. Mm-hmm. I think she went into some other space in her life, it seemed, you know, based on like general atmosphere. We're all like in each other's life, whether we are or not. And so I'm like, all right, I think this is cool. What I didn't realize is, and she said it on the show, and I'm like, oh, I didn't even realize that she could think that that we took Richie's side. Mm. Because we booked him like three times since she's been on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I could see how you would think that. I could see, like, you know, she brought us him and then we keep booking him and not her when she was like the regular. That was not my intention at all. It just seems like you're not having a calendar well for a second. She's
flaked on important things.
Yeah, on things. And then it was just, okay.
Well, she did like a live show or two or something like this. That's true.
Yeah, and then I don't know if she knows this, but she gets drunk and then
she tells Andrea secrets that she doesn't think Andrea is going to say.
Well, she
tells a fucking mistake.
She tells on herself when she's drunk. So she told me,
I said I was sick, but I was actually just fucking around. Like,
but then the next week she'll say I said something else and she'll come up with a third thing and it's like, okay, well.
And then someone has to try to keep a straight fucking face when they hear story number three where it's like, do I participate in this or?
Yeah.
What do I do that's the least embarrassing for you, but also you hurt my friend's feeling?
Well, I do think she's a little, for lack of a better word, she's a little trickster. Like if she was running a show, she would have no problem trying to bring up a topic that should otherwise be secret or
this
kind of thing.
She's done that before.
And because of that, I remember when we had a fight with Danny LaBelle. We're like, you can come on, but you can't mention this guy anymore. Sorry, those are the rules. Okay, no problem. And then she deliberately mentions it to get pokey.
Yeah.
Because she's that type of person, I believe, she thinks we were doing that to her.
Yeah, she seemed nervous in the studio. She seemed like we were going to have like a gotcha thing happening. And because of that, I got more gentle about it because I'm not looking to like have a thing.
Sure.
It's just there was a thing and there's so much history between me and her. And I actually genuinely consider her a friend. But there was a timeout necessary that I did not inflict that. And then online it was like, hey, when are we having Micah Fox on? Mm. And she started liking it or responding to it. And I was like, okay, maybe now.
Yeah.
You know? So it worked out really well and everybody did what they were supposed to and I thought it was good.
I could tell in her tone she was nervous in the beginning. Yeah. And then I think once she realized that you weren't, I mean, I would never assume that you two would do something like that to me, but I think since you have...
She has assumed that, like Keith said, that and there are people who come in here assuming, like, I remember one time Micah said something to me while Keith was out of the room, and then Keith happened to, like, pick up on something and say, or you said something that you thought was not true, but it turns out that's what we were talking about, and she goes, did you just type that to him? And I'm like, no, because you're my friend.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to bring up stuff that you were like, hey, between you and me off the show, I would never text that to Keith because I don't want him he doesn't want to bring it up on the show.
How's that going to fucking end?
Yeah, he doesn't want to hear about it. If he can't bring it up on the show, don't even gossip to him about it because he doesn't want to keep that separate in his head. Like just if you're in the studio, tell him stuff that especially right before the show, he's in show mode. So whatever you're telling him is going on the show.
Yeah.
And that's clear. So I wouldn't, if you told me, Andrea, something that it could be like the juiciest thing for the show, he'll come up with something else that we don't have to talk about our friends negatively. Yeah. So I really would not do that. I would purposefully not tell Keith so he doesn't accidentally do it because there's other fodder.
Wait, are you saying you're a considerate friend who's always nice and thinks about people's point of view?
But it feels like in this room, like to some people, I remember I went on The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly, and one of the first things they said to me was, oh, yeah, you guys pick up on all this information. I'm like, we're reading your tweets.
Right.
You know, like Keith puts together that you're screaming into the internet and then reads it back to you. And you're like, and people always go, oh, you're good. I'm like, you said this into a microphone.
Yeah.
And you think we're here to like gotcha about it. But we think that's what you want to talk about because that is what you're talking about.
I mean, that's why I get nervous when I recommend young guests who are still figuring it out with you guys because they are very publicly like, I recommended Lizzie Cassidy, who I love and adore and I think is very funny and talented. And she tweets a lot about drinking and she was on my podcast talking about like how she was engaged and her parents didn't know it and all this stuff. And there's this like comic part of you that wants to give and feels like you're comfortable with this information. But then you guys are very direct interviewers and you're fast. And I think people don't realize how much of this information is actually out there. Or when they have it like back at them, yeah. It's like, oh, I do sound like a real fucking drunk online.
Well, that's a big thing with authors, meaning people that write books, and you're bringing back the information that they wrote down. It's like, no, I write it and that's the end of it.
They are the most defensive.
Yeah.
And they are pretty giving in their book. And it's not like we're even, I want to say, and we pick up on it. We don't pick up on anything.
We read it
and it's like, wait, why are you asking about that? It's like, all right, okay, interview over. Interview over.
Yeah, you named it. You named the chapter that.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, you ate a cat? Like, I don't know, we all have to eat things.
Oh, I just want it to be controversial in my book so you buy it.
Right.
You know, like, I just wanted to title it so that you buy it. But then after that, I want to be private.
Well, I think also you guys, you don't back down when it comes to direct lines of questioning. And I don't think a lot of
what's the other option? I agree with you, but at the same time, what is the other option? And I hear the other option. It's disgusting. But
exactly. The other option is fluff and then move past it. And that's how a lot of shows, I mean, like we go to LA often enough. We know most shows in LA are like that. It's a lot of bells and whistles, sounds, glossing over, you know, and this show is not like that. As a comedian going on a show like that, you should listen to it and know that that's what it's like. But also these like inexperienced comics don't understand how public they're being.
So we've also gotten a reputation from early on where actually no one was talking about it. Now people are being more transparent and more really not private across the board.
You guys were getting in public fights a lot in the beginning too. Yeah. And I think that people are like, Keith and the girl, they fucking get into shit. And that's...
Don't try to trick Keith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also wonder, before we move on from Micah's episode, she was a regular for such a long period of time, and then she has faded out of regularity, out of her choice or, you know, or life or whatever. Does that ever feel weird when you have a regular that's on a lot and then comes back and there's this like, oh, they used to be on so much. Is there ever like an awkwardness to that?
It's usually fun. It's usually the best. It's usually a reunion.
Uh-huh.
And it's usually because, like, for example, Dan Soder would come on a lot.
Sure.
But now we back and forth and he's literally out of New York for like a month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not, you know, they get more busy.
Yeah.
And so it's more of a reunion. It's more like, yay, we get to see you now. And like, we bump into you or whatever. I don't think it's ever, otherwise I wouldn't book them.
Yeah.
Because it's, if we don't want to see you, we don't want to see you.
Do people ever figure out if someone's been cut out? Because we do have discussions in the studio of like, are we done with this person yet?
Yeah.
And do fans ever figure it out?
Fans are sometimes the worst about it because
they tweet. They love tweeting and adding everyone. Just in case.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, if it was this case, then why are you adding them in it?
Yeah, like why can't
you? Right, just that, right. We do say, you know, add these comedians and say hi, but if your sentence contains, is there a fight between you two?
Yeah, or like, if there was, wouldn't this be the worst?
Yeah.
You fucking asshole.
So people like Ben Lerman kind of dropped out of just being in entertainment, so that's why he's maybe not around, but I'm going to reach out to him just for funsies, you know, just so we can have that kind of reunion, and that's honestly for our like old-timey, you know, and we still have a lot of those, like it's really cool that people stayed here, so even though he probably won't have anything to promote and whatever, like I think he'll come because it's a reunion, but if we are done with you, no, I'm not booking you. Like, there's no, I don't want awkwardness for what?
And then
no one owes anybody anything.
The ones that are like true lines, you call them out. So that's like the Patrice, the Pat Dixon.
Those are because we backed you so much that we need to actually warn people that you are the opposite of what we've been telling them.
And that's you made me
yeah.
me tell.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot of people where I'm like, I'm done with this person. I don't need to call them out. But they're not going to get booked. They're not going to be in my life. And it's not going to be a dramatic thing. It's just, we didn't click. We tried a couple times or
you did some weird shit I heard about and now I don't want to promote you. Yeah.
Yeah. So those we don't need to, it's just going to be out there. Their sense of humor changed or didn't change, you know?
Oh,
because we've been around
love
now.
Love that.
Yeah. We've been around now for 15 years. What you won't hear is like a lot of the 30-year-old mostly men who have already turned 40 and come in here with the same notions as when we first started. And even Keith is like, why are you saying this into like,
they're weirdly hitting on you. They're saying like sexist stuff. They're going, what can I say? And
yeah.
How do you think that this is still going to fly?
Yeah. So I'm not mad at you and we don't have beef, but you don't, we're not doing anything here that's going to be good for anybody. So you're done.
Right. We talked during that show about the asteroid that almost landed on Earth, could have wiped out two cities worth.
Yeah.
The poll was, are you nervous about an asteroid killing you? Let me ask you, you're a hypochondriac. Are you an Earth hypochondriac?
You know, and that kind of gave me relief. When an asteroid almost doesn't hit us, I'm like, oh, good, because none of this matters anyways. Who cares if I'm sick? Because it's chaos. So does it make me nervous? For a second, and then I go like, oh, I have no control over everything. And that's nice in a way, you know? Yeah. It's more nice to me than anything else.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me because it's happening to everybody.
Yeah.
Right? We assume we're all dying.
It's like, oh, yeah, if God's going to smite us, then I guess God's going to smite us. I don't know.
I remember
yeah.
when I was in Landmark and they tried to do this exercise where you close your eyes and they want you to think of something that scares you. And so they go, all right. And then they made them zombies. Like, I'm like, well, don't make them fucking silly, but okay. I'm like, all right, five zombies are after you. I'm like, okay, I guess, I don't know, I'm ducking and shit. Mm-hmm. And then they go, 10 zombies. I'm like, oh, there's a lot. Okay, I guess, let's see. I'm really thinking, like, okay, I can hold up in a garage for a while.
they're probably trying to get, you know,
deep, right? I'm like, all right, I'll have all the sugar. I don't care. And they're like, all right, now everyone on the planet hates you and they're all after you. And I go, oh, everyone?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? If it's everyone, fuck them.
Yeah, I know.
Everyone has a problem with me. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Truly, yeah, I mean.
I never got the point of the lesson.
I don't think there was a lesson. I think it was like, tell everyone about your rape, 10 zombies. Right. You're all confused. Give us $400. Join the fellowship.
Oh, yeah.
Divorced.
We went with Keith for like a session. That was fun. That was a very bonding experience.
Yeah.
Are you nervous about an asteroid killing you? 14% of the audience is.
Okay.
14.
I mean, I hope you guys are VIP members.
Sure. I don't love it, to be clear, but like, what am I going to do?
Whatever.
There's an asteroid in my lungs. I'm busy over here.
Also, end the world when you're ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
And then what?
End it now, to be honest. Whatever. Trump's president. Like, it's looking pretty fucking bad. All right. Episode 3. This is going to take us 6 hours. I'm so sorry. I can't move briskly along. I got to fucking talk about everything. Bulletproof with Rachel Green.
Yes. Ugh. So, okay.
Ugh. It's always, I love them or I hate them. Yes, yeah. I'm going to say love in this case. Yes.
I got an email from Rachel Green.
Ugh.
But here's what it said. It said, I got your email from Tracy Carnazzo. And I'm like, wow, Tracy doesn't usually do that. She has a conversation with me. How would you like this person?
Yeah.
Like, you know, can I connect you all this shit? And I'm like, that's weird. I text her right away. I'm like, Tracy, is Rachel Green funny or not? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you're going to love her.
Come on.
You're going to love her. You're going to love this and that, whatever. And I'm like, you know, Tracy, she's not going to bullshit. Comes on. Oh, my God.
Rachel.
The good ugh.
Yeah. The best ugh.
The best ugh. She's so fun.
Yeah, she was great.
She's so fun. It was like right away, I want to hang out with this person. Mm-hmm. I want her back on the show as soon as possible.
She was Keith's soulmate on Match.com.
The one that got away.
How was that? How did you feel about that?
He loves that shit. He was making fun of it.
She was cool as fuck about it right away, but there is a possibility that someone's going to be a weirdo about that. Were you worried?
It could have been strange at the time. Like, hey, I'm in the comedy scene. People say I look like him. But look at us, 99% match.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah, because you also dated me. And she looks like, that is not the way to get Keith.
Right. Sure.
Let me just tell you.
I have the personality of your ex-wife and the looks of your ex-ex girlfriend.
And that's the thing. I'm like, but he dated that look and it didn't work out.
Sure.
I remember I did, you know, I'm not bragging, but I did have a lot going on. And I remember saying,
so many women.
Who can keep track?
I'm sending bagels to everybody. God. Dating Keith.
That was fun.
Oh, it was so short. I wanted it to last longer.
Me too.
That lady chased you into your apartment. God, there's so many fun things. Kyle, God damn it. Okay.
You do make a good couple.
Yeah,
you that do. Bagel idea.
Oh. Yeah.
Thank you. That's me.
Oh, yeah. It's like a rainforest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's easy. If it says they like Whoppers, buy Whoppers. It's not that hard. The beef or the candy.
The fighting about the fur coat, the charger. Oh, those days were ups and downs.
My favorite part of Keith dating is him realizing how low the bar is for men.
Oh, my God.
Water for you and water for me?
I know.
Yeah, we both had sex.
Yeah. I was like, okay, at least he's seeing it.
Yeah.
That was insane to me. But yeah, a lot of stories.
I'm going to kill Kyle so we can go back to those days. Although we have your dad's emails now. That's so right. It's like, you know.
No, so I checked. I remember on the app, I checked Rachel's, you know, everything she liked, and there was no food item. And I'm like, well, this isn't going to work.
Exactly.
I don't know how to play you. But
did she put her big tits in there?
It was understood.
Featured prominently.
It was understood.
I've never heard Keith talk about anyone's boobs, though. Like, I've never heard him be like, oh, she has this part of the body.
Sure, he's not a fucking weirdo, but they're of note. Hello. She walked in and I was like, bang. Yeah.
They're easily bees, right? Easily.
Easily, as we've learned. I'm going to just get a picture of your tits in the photo booth. I mean, sign the waiver with your tits. I'm going to kill myself.
So she's like, yeah, isn't it crazy we're on this app? And I'm like, it is crazy. Isn't dating crazy? The end.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was the best way to handle it. And right. She seemed cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. She wasn't like upset about the potential rejection. No. She's busy.
Well, you wouldn't even be like, if you saw this back and forth with us, you wouldn't even, you'd assume neither, you would say none of us played the game.
Yeah. Pushed it forward in any way, right. Shape,
that's
or
nice.
Form. Yeah.
That's nice.
Can I say a secret about Rachel Green?
Not with that. No.
Yeah.
What the fuck? You've been yapping all day. Now you're asking? No.
Well, the secret was I kind of want to bang her. But anyways, that's the secret.
I bet she's great in
bed. Yeah, I had a weird fantasy about her. And
that, strap on or what?
And all everything.
Yeah.
I just want to bounce on her boobs. I mean, maybe I've been inside for so long that I'm just like, I want to fuck anything because I'm bored. And not to say that she's anything. I'd kill myself. But
you're the worst.
She's just so, she seems like she would be such a good lay.
Do you fantasize details? A strap on? Who would wear it?
I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
You've done that before.
Yeah.
Both ways?
Yeah. I want to do it all. I want to get like crazy.
He's asking if you have done it.
Has a guy worn a strap on? I know they come with penises, but
no,
sometimes.
I've only strapped on to have sex with a woman and okay. I want to do that with her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just, that she's got something about her.
Is Dustin cool with that kind of shit?
Oh yeah. Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
You should do it.
I kind of want to.
I think she'd be into it.
I bet you she would.
Could you try?
We'll see.
Oh my God, I'm excited.
Have me a host last week and ask me how I'm doing, and I'd be like, I fucked all your guests with strap-ons.
Oh my God, then come over to my house, have a mojito, and fucking let's talk.
Yeah, she's just, she's obviously an attractive person, but she just seems she would be down.
They're looking alike, right?
Yeah. She seems like she would be down to get fucking weird,
yeah,
and not be a freak about it.
Yep.
She's like there because there's those sex people who are fucking annoying to hang out with. It's like, I know that you would do the weird sex stuff with me, but you're so fucking annoying that
she wouldn't annoy you with the terminology, but she would spit in your asshole. You
exactly. That's okay. What I'm saying.
Love it.
She's great.
Yes, she'd be like loving without like needing this love afterwards.
Yeah, we'd get a coffee. Yes. We'd fucking smoke a joint. Yeah. Yeah.
We asked the audience, have you ever had sex with a strap on? 10% yes.
We need to up that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Live the Andrea and Rachel lifestyle. We're going to move in together.
All right.
In that show, we also talked about the Georgia woman that fired a gun over McDonald's French fries. She said her French fries were cold.
Yeah.
I don't, there's some jobs in a big city anyway that I don't understand why you take. I would never be a meter person. I would never work in a 24-hour bodega.
DMV.
I would never, ever work in a McDonald's. You come to me. I'm in a city. And you go, my fries are cold. I'll hand you my car keys. Does this help?
Yeah, I know.
These are dangerous places. And I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah. There were so many.
It's the new Waffle House.
Yeah. There are so many weird but trues in this show. And they were all just idiot people just doing idiot shit all over America. And it was very fun.
An Indiana cop. In another McDonald's, gets their McChicken and goes, hey, I just did some detective work. You hate cops. You took a bite of my sandwich.
Yeah.
They go, no, I didn't. You did. Didn't. Wait, I did. Yes. I ate my own sandwich and was ready to pull out a gun on you.
To serve and protect.
I'm embarrassed. See you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Look at Keith's face when he reads these things.
It's so happy. It makes me so happy. Yeah. It is crazy. America is crazy. Yeah. It really is. I would sooner be a sanitation worker than any of these jobs, because it's like I'm in knee deep in shit, but I'm not going to get killed over stupid garbage.
Yeah. Anything you, if you find a gun or a body, they're dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But at McDonald's, it's dangerous.
I feel like Rachel would be a fun person to hang out with. I feel like you wanted to hang out with her, like, I do. In life.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I do. I think we will.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Yeah.
How will people be able to tell you apart? Because hair,
they shouldn't.
Nose, boobs.
No, that's going to be what's fun. Yeah. Probably the boobs will tell us apart.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Oh, my God. I want to live in those tits. Anyways, please don't cancel me. Next guest.
Yes.
We had another new guest, Brian Mitchell, Jehovah Witness Protection Program, Chemda's favorite joke that she said during that whole show.
Yeah. And then when I said, how about that for a title? And everyone was like, yes, right away. I was like, oh, it's such a good feeling when your title gets picked.
I know.
Right.
Really, you're the bell of the ball.
You want to be cool about it, but you're like, yeah, I did that.
Yeah. What did I say? I said jingle. Oh, there was one that I did recently. Oh, Billy's. What was Billy's title? Billy Vanilli.
Oh.
That kept me going for like a week.
Yeah. Yeah. Keith and I were like, oh, that's such a good feeling.
Perfect. So this guy reached out to you, and I was in a real mood that day.
Yeah, you were.
And I was fucking shitting on this guy.
Can I say what you were like?
I'm sure I was a nightmare. I was so sick.
This is 5 seconds before he rang the bell to come in, and possibly after he rang the bell, and he's on his way to the front door over here. This guy's going to give you nothing. He's going to fucking deter all of you. Just fucking give up on talk about news.
I'm just shoving cough drops. Okay, let me say this.
This is my producer trying to hype us up.
Yes. Okay, I will say this though. He was wonderful, and he was very, very giving. And you were both very good interviewers and knew the right avenues to go to get the cool and relevant information.
Well, this time, not that we didn't all the time.
Right. No, but I'm saying when he is left to his own devices, this guy on stage, he is boring. At least from what I see out there. What? It's true.
Listen.
So it's like if you are like, do you know this guy? And I see his picture and I'm like, this fucking snoozeville, then I'm worried.
Okay. His stand-up is very different than our show.
Exactly.
Yes, I get it. But his email to me was so open that I was like, oh, fuck yeah. His email was, hey, I love your show, blah, blah, blah. Like, good opening.
Sure.
And he's like, I'm a Jehovah's Witness.
Bees with honey.
I left the church. My father left my mother for a newbie. Like, he already said that in the email. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're in, because no matter what, you'll say that. Everything else, Keith and I could work around.
I got an email the other day. Somebody goes, I'm working on a project that I can't talk about.
Yeah, bye.
And I go, okay.
Yeah, great.
Me too. Yeah. Yeah. Good talk.
Yeah. Oh, how about this? I get like emails from PR companies just pushing their people. Mm-hmm. And I learned to ignore
the old
those.
Lady with the hula hoops. Hello. Jesus Christ.
Well, I learned to ignore those because I thought they were, you know, curating them, because I run into these PR people. We work together. We work with the same people. Like, I want to be respected.
You think they would give a shit?
That's the thing. So obviously they're just pushing it to everybody. So I started ignoring it. But this one sort of caught my eye and I was like, she looks like she could be funny or the worst. So I go, oh, why am I doing all this research up front if she has a story somewhere online or something that I can like work with? Mm-hmm. I go, hey, why don't you tell me a couple of personal stories that she would want to share on the show? Mm. Have not heard back.
Hilarious.
I'm doing that from now on.
That gives you your answer.
Yeah, because do you know the show that you emailed, and do you know what she would want to? Because a lot of times those people, because she might have had like a more acting improv background, and they shut down the most.
You mean not funny is what you're saying?
Corny,
acting,
you know, a little
improv,
cheesy.
Not funny, LA fucking cornball, no answers to questions.
Closed off, because they're usually talking someone else's words.
Sure.
And here you have to be like so open.
From a young child.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to kill myself.
Yeah, but if you have a story,
yeah,
then I could work with that.
That's
but
a
I
good
love
test.
That. Yeah. Why don't you
test.
Tell me?
Well, people loved him. In fact, one of
well, I don't love him.
One of Kyle's friends said, "Hey, I was stuck in this religion, and I can relate a lot. Can you hook us up?"
Well, I.
Oh, but he's in such a loving relationship.
No, I think just to hang out. I mean, but hey, who knows?
Mm-mm. Well, I didn't. Okay, just so you understand, the Brian Mitchell that I know, I didn't know that he was a Jehovah's Witness from his stand-up. He does not bring it up.
Well, he talks about it. It's online.
I have never even cared enough to hear the words. Okay, so that's what I.
This is some compliment, Andrea. Never compliment me.
It's not a compliment, to be clear. So I was. It's just like. It was, I was like, oh no. Like when you were like this person and it was too late for me to be like, no. And then it worked out.
Yeah, he's fantastic. He's such a nice guy.
Yeah. I never said it wasn't nice. Yeah. It was fucking Snoozeville.
Okay. Well, I liked you, Brian, 100%.
I like him. I loved him.
No, you did good. You did good. Now it's my turn.
No, okay. No, it's my turn. He was great on the show. Yeah. He also answered some pretty interesting questions about this. That religion is creepy as fuck.
He was so open.
Yeah.
To go from such an enclosed place in your mind to fully embracing like all the questions that you must have had and must have broke your heart.
Yeah.
And to come through that and to joke around about it is the best. Like, it's like, yes, I'm a podcaster. Like,
should podcast. So, it's a great medium for him. He's got a good story and he works in this particular medium.
Definitely. Then host a show yourself. Definitely.
Yeah.
Will the world end in a way predicted by religion? Was the poll 9% say yes.
What?
So whether that's burning horses or another flood, 9%.
Can you find out, can you look on the back end who these people are?
No.
Damn.
Or it'd take a lot of work. And also, I wouldn't think that's fair.
That's true, that's but shitty. Also that's fun because then they have an argument on the forums and you're like, oh, but you're one of the world ender horses people.
Oh,
no.
Good. Learn from Keith's petty side.
Good. I love it. Until I'm fully recovered, I will indulge all my horrible personality traits and not examine them whatsoever.
Yeah, I won't know who
it's
a person
my
is.
My time.
But I do, you know, I know they know. So when they say, hey, I watched Fleabag and didn't know that foxes were referenced, I'm like, well, from now on, no, you're wrong when you correct me about a movie opinion. You don't watch
and
things.
And she still fights.
And she still fights. She thought it was about her just now. Her and her fox crew.
Yeah. It is. I admire your defiance when it comes to shit you shouldn't be running your fucking mouth with.
Poor
you,
Xerxes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You're the Shout worst. Out. He's been so lovely. Can we talk about him a little bit?
No, I know you. So if he's sticking with you, he's lovely.
Yeah. You guys never let me talk about Xerxes for real.
Uh-huh. Okay, this is now welcome to the talk about Xerxes hour.com. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, you have 1 minute. We'll be quiet for 1 minute.
Don't be quiet.
No.
First of all, how cute is he?
Okay, and you did good. So we're all going to take that in and we'll reconvene in 1 week.
Yes.
All right, next
he
show.
He made me a snack.
Yeah, he made me a snack. He didn't have to.
We do such fun things together. He's up
just
for anything.
Just because he's not cheating on you and being a piece of shit doesn't mean he's the king of the world. And I am, to be clear, very happy. I think Xerxes and you are a wonderful match.
Thank you.
But it's very like, he's doing the bare minimum. Uh-huh.
That's not, he cleaned out the fridge. He does laundry and dishes.
And he's living your house too?
But
also,
see, you guys don't let me talk.
Oh, God.
I was just about to explain it. I was just about to explain everything. It would have made sense.
Okay.
I start with he's up for anything, but then I was just going to say, well, now I'm not telling you.
We go to the beach. We're going to the Botanical Gardens on Friday.
Oh. Wow. What else is extremely popular in New York City?
Okay.
All right. Very
We're
good.
We're going on bike rides now.
Oh, a bike.
Oh.
Okay. Three bikes on every corner.
He's not on Craigslist searching for a horse. Oh.
What do you guys think you talk to me about with your mates?
Name one thing I talk to you about my mate.
You fucking broccoli Rob.
I gave you broccoli Rob that she didn't eat in a restaurant. Now I get paid for it.
Yeah.
Now I get hurt for it. Now I get punished.
I'm very happy. I think Xerxes is a wonderful partner. I don't think he's doing bare minimum. I think there's lots of men who skirt by much lower, but also it's more fun to mock you in your relationship because you like it. You're like a sicko. You're like, you never mock me. Now I'll say incredibly mockable stuff.
Do me.
Bait you.
Do me.
Yeah.
You're a bitch? Okay, stop it. Do it again. What else?
My boyfriend gives a shit. What do you think about that?
Come on. It's fun. It is fun.
Keith so loves fun. To talk about Broccoli Rob.
What are we even?
Yeah.
What?
Andrew, you get that. Come on.
You know Broccoli Rob. Healthy people eat him. Yes. All right. Anyway, can we move briskly along?
No. This show is going to be 5 hours.
You schmucky, buddy. You going to pick me a bear?
But you never let me talk about him.
Okay. It's the Xerxes talking about
No, we already did.
No, we're done. I'm saying in regular life. I come in and I'm like, oh, Xerxes rode the bike in with me today. Like, Xerxes, blah!
Right. Sometimes we can tell when that's the end of the story. You know, what could have happened?
I got to cut you off.
Yeah.
I'm going to hear about fucking biking and yoga for 6 hours? I have shit to do. Yeah.
I'd rather hear about this non-bronchitis, to be honest.
How dare you? Yeah. I have a serious problem.
Oh, now.
How dare you?
Okay.
And then it's my 10th trip to the not ER. Okay. Did you learn anything? No. Then on my 11th trip.
What? Do you think I should go to the ER?
Something.
No, oh, do not. Do not.
What should I do? What would you do?
Oh, my God.
I'd find one doctor and stick with him.
You fell for it. Who's you fell for Keith. Gonna tell you what about doctors now.
Who's this doctor that you keep texting? Go to her.
She's a GP. She can't. She doesn't take my insurance. That's why I can't go
I
to
see.
Her.
Okay.
So she's my GP. I've just been like, I've been emailing her because she's sane and I like her as a doctor. Right. I kept even more expensive insurance than I have now in order to have her as my GP, but it was like so much money. It was crazy. So I still communicate with her because I'm like, you're the only non-insane doctor I know. Am I doing the right thing? And she's like, I guess so. Who fucking knows? Here's this other doctor that's going to cost $6 million, right. But maybe also go to a city MD or lie around for 6 years and hopefully you don't die. I don't fucking know. Anyways, what did Xerxes fucking...
He would have made you soup.
Oh, God. Yeah, he would have. All right. Anyways, kill myself.
Dustin ever cook for you?
Yeah. I mean, when he came to visit me...
Oh.
I asked the question. I didn't even bring him up. When Dustin was here, he did take care of me a lot. Yes. Okay, nice. And we also had sex while you were in the other room. And I didn't know you were here. And it was awful.
Well, it wasn't loud.
Yeah. Was it not? Did you hear it?
I didn't hear it. No.
Really?
No.
Oh, thank God.
You a screamer?
Not regularly, but I thought I heard you. And then you were definitely there and you were working with Julia. And I'm like, what a fucking nightmare that would be for them. We're having sex and they're half hearing it and trying to do work. Oh, my God. Kill yourself. But glad to know it didn't happen. Well,
we learned a lot.
We did.
Last week.
This is last month. This is last year on Keaton the Girl. We go through everything. Okay, so hello, the news, Tracy Carnazzo. Last episode of the week.
Uh-huh. Everyone loves Tracy.
She's the best.
Yeah, and she always stays after for a gossip sesh.
Oh,
Keith leaves immediately. Right. And then we go, all right. And everyone has a story.
Yeah, she knows everything.
She knows everything and everyone. She knows what happened to them yesterday and then the catch up this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she knows who's with who and what they're saying and what they're actually doing.
This fucking bitch says this, but what she means is that. And she fucked this guy and he's a no talent hack. Actually, you know, she's a lot like me.
Is she single? Are we pretending she's single, not single?
I don't really know her situation.
All right. Yeah. See, that's why I leave.
Yeah. I'll say I saw her last night and she mentioned a certain boyfriend who I thought she was no longer with, but now it seems like she's with him. I don't fucking know. I don't fucking know. And then she said it in a public place. So I'm like, oh, I'm assuming this is the script that we're doing. So I guess this is what we're doing. Shoot myself in the face.
Right.
But
you get it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how you do it. You just shoot yourself in the face constantly. That's what I should have been doing this whole time.
Did you scratch chicken pox when you were a kid? No.
You know, kids don't get chicken pox anymore?
Oh, yeah?
They don't get it anymore.
Huh.
That's it. Done.
That's the problem with them. They look it, too.
Yeah, seriously. We should get a gun sound on the board for when a guest is not answering a question, and then you just go... And they're like, what? I don't understand.
You know what? There's going to be a point where Keith and I know it's our last year, right?
Yeah, go full morning zoo.
We're not going to tell anyone. But if anyone asks, I will be like, okay, you get out now. And just stare at them until they go. Just very calmly. And we both stare. Nobody says anything. Okay, now it's time for you to go.
We're 7 minutes in. You want to tell them where you're going to be while you're leaving?
I want to live that way all the time. Yeah. I always dream about being that way.
Let people know where you're going to be. It's not here.
How different would your life be, do you think, if you behaved that way?
People like, are doing great to do that.
I know.
It's true.
Why are we good people? I don't know. And I don't even think I'm that good of a person. But like, why don't I just let the wheels fall off and say shit to people's face all the time?
You know, because when I do, Keith texts me like, calm down. When I start.
Well, you do it before they're even on mic. They're like, my mom.
They're talking.
They're like, my mom came to visit me. And you're like, oh, you like your mom? Good.
No, no.
Fuck you. You know our show, you old bitch? There are certain people who rub you the wrong way. And they're
usually right.
But you could still, there's some that are dead in the water where I feel like you could still maybe work with them. Or you have hot button issues where like if someone, like when Paul Hooper was like, I'm close with my mom. And you're
like,
I
was wrong about that.
Fuck you.
I was wrong about that. And plus, he's my friend, so I like shitting on him. And totally. I'm very comfortable doing that. But the guy who came in here and thought it was your show for like the first half hour.
Yeah, I mean, I have apologized.
Fuck out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, with that one. But
I didn't know how to calm down about, but I was pretty fucking calm.
Yeah, you were calm. Well, what are you going to do? Not have a show? I think maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know. I
think we make a lot of shows.
Yeah.
Keith and I could talk to each other. That's what we were doing anyway.
Me and Emily. So we send an email out to Hot Mess people. And I was talking to you guys about this. So we have a formula for shitty guests too. And it usually comes in a series of three. One, they ask to be on, which is the funnest one ever when they're bad. When they ask, because you're like, oh, you asked to be here and you're bad. This right. is fascinating. They ask to be on. Two, they're more than 20 minutes late. Mm. Three, we ask them why they're a hot mess and they say that they are messy. Ugh. And it's like.
Literally messy.
Yes,
people.
Like I am unclean. And I'm like, you motherfucker. And may I say, we send them an email. And it has all the information, but also it has giant purple. Like, I know you're not going to read these important details because why would anyone? Because who cares? Because fuck everybody. But this paragraph is gigantic. It's bigger than all the other fonts and it's purple. And it says, I am going to ask you this question. Make sure you have an answer. Mm-hmm. And after the last guest who did the messy response, I have added to the email, do not say you are messy unless you are a literal hoarder. It is the most boring answer ever. And I have decided now, if someone comes on and says they're messy, yes. I'm just going to pull up the email and be like, hey, do you remember when I sent you a fucking email? Because
cosign
the audacity of this, you know? And people want to be on podcasts. People know that podcasts get you things. People know that my show and your show is one of the bigger ones. They asked to be on, and yet they didn't. Nothing.
Yeah.
You made my show shitty. My audience can tell that I'm being like, oh yeah, fucking. Now I have to be a fucking fake weirdo about the fact that you didn't do any work.
Not anymore, bitch.
Not anymore.
Love that. Yes.
I'm going to
be
meaner and worse than I am now.
Yes.
And I'm going to be a star. You guys should do the same thing. I feel like do it now.
I feel like I do.
Start doing it now.
I feel like I'm pretty honest in their face. I've said things like, that's not an answer.
I know.
Yeah. What's even Lucas Connolly, leave. I was like, Lucas, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, that's true.
Make them leave, I feel, is the next step.
We're good, right?
Yeah.
Like, no, I just mean my parents are always around their dad. Okay. So we just did everything, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, my parents were always there for me, but my dad isn't. And I live with my mom, I don't. Okay, so I think I understand that completely. And it's odd that you feel you have to over-explain it. So take care of them. Bye.
Get out.
Yeah. So you're free to go now, right?
I know I have said, that sounds dumb. I know I've said that.
Is it a funnier show if you guys keep continuing on between, like you switch to YouTube mode when someone becomes useless to you both like, and then like realign to one another. Uh-huh. Like this show now continues with or without you. And I can sense that they're like humiliated and they don't know what's happening and they don't know why you're not talking to them.
Good.
And I love that. It's for someone who unbelievably has manners in public. I'm very polite in public. It's a nightmare for me because it's like, this is so bad. Even though it's their fault, it is so bad.
Right.
Couldn't you just dismiss that? Do you think that you would have the balls at this point? And I don't think, I also think you guys don't seem to have a guest that I think such a big deal that you would worry about offending them now. I feel like you've interviewed enough big deal people.
Nobody's a big deal.
That
just
who cares?
Right. Just let me speak this clearly into the mic. Nobody's a fucking big deal.
What about Alanis Morissette?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wait. Okay.
You would placate her bullshit. I feel like she's the only
one. Am I sitting on her lap? No. You know what? But no, because if she would give me bullshit answers, I'd be disappointed. And yeah, I would call her out. It's not fun for me to sit across from someone who I respect and yeah. they're giving me disrespectful, stupid answers.
Yeah.
Why are you here? We could do something else. Can I get a donut with you, Alanis? We don't have to do this.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. And I think,
you just go, you want to just get a donut?
That could be a good answer.
You know what I mean?
When me and Henda turn to each other, you feel the guests do know. Sometimes I don't even know if they know and I don't care.
Seriously.
Yeah. Yes. I feel there's different types. So there's like a guest who's half-assy and defensive, but they want the clout of being on the show. And when you guys give up on them, all of a sudden they
step
turn
up
it up a little bit. Yeah. And I'm like, ooh, gross. Gross that you needed to be like punished in order to give a shit in the middle of a show. Would you do this on a stand-up show?
Like, yeah, they probably would. Yeah.
I enjoy it. You know what? I wouldn't. I think I'd keep it going, even if it was shorter. That's sometimes a sign, but sometimes it's not. Again, Rojo Perez, for example, does a shorter show and he's fantastic. But sometimes it's a sign when a show is short. And I like everybody hearing the dynamic of what we do with this less than stellar guest.
And also, I don't think people would enjoy us being actually genuinely mean. I think when we're mean, it's because we're really just trying to get curious and more, and we're trying to say, no, this is the real thing happening right now. We're not trying to be like, you fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know, I think if we were to bring people up, when we have a reputation of being mean, I don't think it's mean. I think it's just, we asked you a question. It's like you said, you asked to be on or you're here and you're suddenly surprised that we're getting into your life. You're boring and I don't know what to do with you, but to yell and to like kick a person out, I don't think our audience would actually like if we were actually mean like that.
But it would be funny every so often you see a 6-minute show.
Yes.
That'd be amazing.
That's good. I also think this is like an exceptionally incredible situation for me personally because I never worry really too much about the guest because no matter what, there's going to be a great show. I can just turn to Keith and that guy's done. So it's not like so precious and we don't have like one show a week. We have five.
Yeah.
So we can play around with like...
Yeah, when someone takes a dump on me on my show, it's a weekly.
That's tough.
And it makes me so upset.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, I could have easily had someone else. And now my show wouldn't be shitty this week, this one fucking time.
And your show is about the get... Like, you guys start up front about you. And
oh,
then,
my God. Yeah. I couldn't make it more obvious that we're about to talk about your fucking life, you piece of trash.
Yeah, you'll hear me just like start... Like we'll interview each other, Keith and me. We'll bring up other shit. We're done, and that's great that we get to do that. So, and then we'll just I will just be like, are we? I'll text him. Are we done?
Yeah,
you know,
it'd be funny if we didn't have this wrap up show. Our show titles have secret codes in them.
They do,
and there's the number, but we put like a number at the end, and that's how much we like the guest 1 to 10, and how much we like the show in parentheses.
Well, yeah, I mean. With the shitty guest that I recommended, Nico White, what was the title of that show? It was Mind Your Business, which was, you know, I think there was...
That was about him, for sure.
Yeah. There are ones that are like less thinly veiled references, you know?
Right.
That's when we're like, okay, argue. You said Mind Your Business basically the whole time. So we called it Mind Your Business.
Yeah.
So Mind Your Business.
On Tracy's show, we talked about President Trump alluding to himself being a 9/11 first responder. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say, no, I'm not saying I'm a first responder like you guys that I'm giving money to help fight the cancer finally. I wouldn't say I was. Other things I wouldn't say I was, king of police. I wouldn't say I'm the king of police.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm the greatest teacher of all time.
Tracy's so funny. Hello, the news was my, love that.
Tracy feels like she's one of the gang. She
makes sure of it. I know that she can go on any podcast and she brings that.
Yeah.
She'll make sure like she'll drop that she's been listening to the show. She'll drop a couple things that she heard, things like that.
Yeah.
And even if it's just in preparation for this,
thank you.
Give like half a fuck and we'll be like, thank you.
Yeah.
I'll say like when I, so I recommended a guest to you recently who's a friend of mine who's a little standoffish or defensive, but they're so, 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 so funny that, and I think when I write in emails to you, I'm like, they're XYZ, like know this, but don't be discouraged. And then when I talk to them, I'll say like, it's fast paced. Make sure you listen to understand the pace. It's going to seem faster than it sounds. And also if you think also like they're on your side, don't think that they aren't. And I do say that okay. when there's someone who I know is defensive, the pace of the show and the directness of the questioning is if someone has something to hide perhaps or is cagey about something, I don't want to not recommend them, but it's like.
That's a tough one. But you know what? When you warn me like that, I usually try to book them first or second show of the week.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
then it's more heavy on our weekend and our stuff and they're just commenting so they can ease in a little more.
Yeah. 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 So there's all this magic happening on behind the scenes. But Tracy Carnazzo, fucking easy breezy.
Do you guys think you can leave a kid in the car by accident and they die in the heat? I don't.
I don't know. The crazy emotional reaction of this guy was, I mean, not that that isn't weird. Of course, you'd be like hysterical, but I don't know.
I don't leave
a cat in a place that I
right.
like think it could potentially even be in slight danger.
I had two dogs and never forgot one somewhere.
Yeah, like, my child, their babies. He's a father, but like still, there's all this news about how great of a father he was, and he was so hysterical that it seemed.
Who knows, though? I don't know how I would act.
I don't know.
You're mad I'm too hysterical. You're mad that I'm not crying because, sorry, I'm not crying.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no right way to respond.
What's upsetting me? The court? I don't care about the court right now. I care about my kids. Yeah. I'm dealing with that. Who knows?
Would you leave Kyle's kids in the car?
It's just funny. People understand now that it can happen. So that's good. Who knows how bad things get?
That's the thing. I would like to think, no, of course not. But then you read that this is a thing that happens because maybe your life is so on repeat that you're like, of course I dropped them off. And you're just losing.
Yeah.
You didn't sleep. You're losing. I don't know, man. This isn't the homework that you forgot.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, oh, 10 minutes ago, I was looking up an email and I just forgot. Like, you, 8 hours of work, you don't go, motherfucker, kids in the car.
Babies.
No.
This is one of the main reasons I never want to have children, because.
You and your wife didn't talk during those 8 hours at work about the kids?
Yeah.
But also, when you're a parent, I assume that if you're the ones taking them to work, you automatically drive. Like, if I bike to work, today I intended to put the bike at a different bike rack so that I can get the Starbucks. Mm. And I ended up just going straight to the one I usually go to. And I'm like, fuck it, I'm not getting a Starbucks. I already docked it.
Yeah.
But that's how,
your
like.
Your bike isn't the child you created, though.
But that's the thing. Yeah. So because you normally drop them off at daycare, why were you driving to work? Don't you automatically start driving to daycare?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, don't you, aren't you like, today's route was shorter. Aren't you at work earlier?
Then for the rest of your life, though.
When did you leave the house and why are you at work so early?
When your wife tells you, get milk, and you go, yeah, you already told me. Really? Shit. I already told you?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
You murdered our, I mean, they're getting divorced, yeah. Or he's killing himself. If I get upset when I kill a houseplant. So for not taking care. If I killed the child that I created, I think I would kill myself.
I kind of feel like they were in on it together. There's something about it.
I do too.
It.
There's something fucking weird about them. About and it. I feel like a monster, but it's just like the I saw the picture of him and I was like,
I didn't even see the picture, but I don't know. Something about it seemed weird. Why are you at work so early? That didn't dawn on you? Yeah. You didn't see, like, when you come to work early, different things are happening.
People are talking about their kids. You see kids on people's desks in frames.
You're a man, and statistically, I hate men, so there's that too, you know?
Do the right math, of course.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, he is a gentleman. Mm-hmm. Case dismissed. Talking about reality TV, I think it came up. I was asking Tracy if she masturbates to it. I'm not sure. But the poll was, do you masturbate?
Because she doesn't, and she didn't use my vibrator that I gave her.
Well, she doesn't do the poll because 100% of our audience,
good for you guys.
Good for
100%
you.
A yes, and we
that's
masturbate.
That's what you guys sound like when you masturbate. What you just did.
I just got off.
What a beautiful, thoughtful audience.
Yeah, I mean,
jack-offs.
Just if you're not masturbating, trust me that you're wrong.
You didn't start masturbating until you were like 6,000 years
wrong.
Old? Yeah, so was I. Yeah.
A new life emerged from me. And
we schmuckle,
but. Yeah, but you actually need, you like,
release valve.
My desperation became less because I can get off by myself. So now I don't have to find a person, match their schedule, like,
he killed
give
his
a
kids.
Shit about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh my God. And then you can't sleep. Boom.
Yeah.
You're bored. Boom. A day of fun just arrived.
I'm just going to be doing ad campaigns for masturbation. Boom!
I wish I could.
You're on the train. Boom!
You see two colors.
You're at a silent retreat. You're trying to get over your fucking weird relationship. Boom! Masturbate while you're supposed to be meditating. Boom!
There's.
You remember that?
I remember everything.
The show that's out now, but for next week with Kiri Gravenson, I talk about some new emails from my dad, and there's a brand new one, and part of it, he mentions about being in a serious relationship, and he warns me, even though me and Kyle have been together over a year, and he knows this, don't get intimate before you know the person for at least a year, and marriage is truly on the very near horizon at the soonest. Wait a year before you're intimate with anybody.
Sure.
What, 1910? What? Is this Pride and Prejudice? You danced with me, we're married now?
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though.
Here's
wait
the thing,
until
though.
Your libido jingles.
Wait until you bless a woman's mother's house, and you make googly eyes, and you know it's love.
And then he met Kyle. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, it's so...
I also don't think he waited a year for your mom.
Of course not.
That wasn't the case. But he
left his... priest job he didn't have. I don't think he was a priest. I really don't.
We'll see.
I'm so sorry to take that last shred of reality away from you, but nothing is real.
I would even listen to his suggestion because I get it. Like, draw intimacy from somewhere else. Like, get connected, blah, blah, blah. But nobody likes you. So why are you giving advice on how to get people to like you? How to get along. No one gets along with you. You don't have one friend and not even your family wants to be around. So mandated fucking hangouts are not even happening for you. But you're telling me how to deal with people?
We should clip out just Hamda's rants about Keith's father and just send it to him on like a VHS or whatever he uses. It's 6 hours of her being like, you motherfucker, no one even, you're beautiful, fuck you, no one, like, you're a fucking weirdo.
Well, he would go, what is she trying to say? You know, right. If it's not my ex saying I lust after you, he all of a sudden doesn't know what you're talking about.
Well, like, it's confused old man.
Like during that Curie episode, he's like, I'm not sure what you mean by, you know, this and that, but I will give you advice on how long it should take before you're intimate. Really? But when it comes to, hey, I lust after you, me too, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
That made sense, you old fuck.
But mid rant on Keith's dad, I usually realize that this is not even my dad that I'm ranting about. So I look over at Keith and he could not be happier. So
yeah,
I just keep going.
You're sticking up for your friend.
But I just, you know, you check because...
Sure.
Maybe you're done like shitting on your parents for a minute. It's like, all right, let it go. I don't want to keep going if Keith is done with it. I look over and Keith's like,
yes.
Tell my feelings.
Yeah. Keith doesn't have to have feelings. Hamda has them for him.
That's right.
That's our new catchphrase.
Yeah. Not a singer ulcer. Not a single ulcer.
Well, everyone's living their best life. You eat like shit, you have all the feelings, and I'm a fucking sick asshole. It's been a fucking journey.
Do you have a song for us?
Ugh, who gives a shit? Love with Shmoopty, no one gives a shit.
What?
Andrea's sick and hates every guest. Keith has Gatorade and his girlfriend thinks she's not good enough. KeithandTheGirl.com.
Oh boy.
Thank you very much.